And now, the KHMB Feature Story of the Week. A look at people and events making a difference on the coastside.
The KHMB Feature Story of the Week is brought to you by Granola's Coffee House, located on Highway 1 next to BK Motors in Half Moon Bay. Granola's Coffee House, featuring specialty coffees, fresh baked goods, and free Wi-Fi.
The flowers grow in the valley.
Flowers on our hillsides and valleys, overlooking the ocean, giving us precious beauty. But not all is peaceful among the blooms of color. This is Bill Wood, and my guest today is Melinda McNaughton, co-founder of El Granada Advocates, working to protect our natural coastside environment. Welcome, Melinda.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Your organization is involved in a number of environmental causes, but let's start with one flower, one that splashes our hillsides with a bit of gold, but goes by the innocent name of Bermuda Buttercup. Turns out this little cup of gold is not so innocent after all. Tell us why.
This particular flower is pretty prolific. It is not native to our country. It pops up seasonally, but it's actually pretty easy to hand pull and replace with a native plant. Its bulbs do stay in the ground when you pull by hand, and those bulbs spread prolifically, unfortunately. But they're everywhere, and it's hard to do much about them.
The county has an attack on these. They plan to sprinkle it with a liquid herbicide. What actually happens to the flower when that's done?
It takes probably 3 days to a week, depending on the climate conditions, for the plant to die. The county says that the bulb also dies with it. They spray this area on the bluffs every year. It seems like an exercise in futility to us because it's constantly getting sprayed out there with toxic pesticides.
What are the hazards of this particular herbicide?
So this particular one, they're using two chemicals. One is called Clearcast and one is called Garland 4 Ultra. Garland 4 actually is toxic to fish. Clearcast is a probable carcinogen, toxic to bees. And there are some other things that I have on my list that they're toxic to, but I could go on.
It could be a long list,
I presume. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, there are the things that it's toxic to that we don't even know it's toxic to.
Exactly. These are only the studies we know about.
Set a definition of a weed is just a plant where you don't want it.
Exactly.
But considering the size of the coastside landscape involved, is this flower, the oxalis, is that correct?
Oxalis.
Really controlled by hand removal?
It can be kept at bay. I would say it can't be controlled at all. It can be kept at bay. Like, you can't even control it with spraying because it's just going to keep coming back everywhere. But I have worked in habitat restoration where we actually with Pacifica Beach Coalition, and they do a great job of dealing with the oxalis. They just go out, pull it with all their volunteers, and then they cover up the soil with wood chips to keep the moisture in the soil so the soil holds water for the plants so it doesn't dry out. And then they replant natives there. They take the spot of where the oxalis would be.
Are there any native plants that actually push it out?
I'm not familiar. I'm sure there probably are, but I don't know. I know established native plants, that it doesn't really do much to an established larger native plant because oxalis doesn't grow that tall.
If the native plants are really strong, the oxalis really can't do too well.
It won't do too much.
That's good. Yeah,
it'll probably be there, but it won't do much to the plant.
Well, it reminds me, my grandfather had a ranch in eastern Washington State, and there was a weed there we called mullein.
I'm familiar with mullein.
And the rule was there, when you visited, everybody, because you walked over the ranch, all the acreage, wherever you saw one of those, you pulled it out.
Pulled it out, yeah.
And it kept it under control, and sometimes if there was a section in a field, we just went up there and hoed it all out. So it was possible to get it down to where you didn't see it very often.
Right.
Catch it before it went to seed.
Makes sense. There's a lot of seeds on mullein, that's for sure.
What are you doing to convince the county not to use the herbicide?
We have contacted the county. We've been in discussions with Ray Mueller, supervisor for our district, and we've been explaining the research that we found and the public records we pulled showing the pesticides, that some of the very toxic pesticides they're using. One of them is a lot of different Roundup products containing 41% concentrate glyphosate. we've been explaining to the county that glyphosate is a liability to have in their integrative pest management program, and mainly because even the EPA had to go back through their data by a court order and report that 93% of endangered species are injured and killed by glyphosate. And also, glyphosate in ultra-low dose is harmful to human and animal DNA, according to the research we found. Then there are some other ones. A lot of the surfactants and spreaders they use, almost the same quantity, they have to add it to the mix of pesticides, contains PFAS, forever chemicals, and POEAs, which are 3,450 times more toxic than glyphosate. I nerd out on this.
The question is, are there situations where a herbicide is really the only option to control an invasive species?
The county has expressed certain examples of where it is the only option. I think they will say every time they spray it, it is the only option. So they will say that, yeah, this is the only option. But we know that there are many alternatives out there. I'm working with Non-Toxic Neighborhoods, which is a nationwide nonprofit that tries to help municipalities transition off of or reduce pesticide use. There are all kinds of new technologies out there. And there are also organic herbicides made from concentrate or industrialized vinegar, essential acids, and citric acids that can be used. Talking to Kim about it, she says there's a lot of different things you have to take into account when using those, like even the pH of the water has to be right so that the organic herbicide will work. Our county has expressed they haven't used organic herbicides yet, so that is one thing that we're asking them to try. And also Kim at Non-Toxic Neighborhoods can get them all kinds of potential free herbicides and some of the newer technology that's out there. There's a weed whacker type thing that actually has a little spark in it that can kill the roots of certain plants. So there's a lot of different ways now that are alternative to chemicals that can be used.
Your organization has a number of other environmental causes on its plate, wildfire prevention, clear cutting, and so forth. Tell us a bit about those.
El Granada Advocates started as a group of neighbors, and that's what we are. And we are concerned about the wildlife in our area, and of course, we're concerned about wildfire. Our concern is with cutting down and managing tree canopy, we also want to retain some of it because it's been scientifically proven that tree canopy is very important for cooling urban towns and forests. It's really important now to have some kind of an urban tree canopy as the climate heats up. And the standard percentage of canopy globally is 30% tree canopy. And there's new research out saying that 40% should be the goal for towns.
When we think of clear cutting, we think of those checkerboards you see when you're flying in the airplane over Oregon and Washington,
oh,
where
yeah.
they used to take, 40 acres. I actually spent years ago working a bit for Weyerhaeuser. The type of trees they're growing, they take them all down, plant the new ones. And of course, it ends up looking like that. Then they came up with an idea, what they called contour cutting. So they would go to hillside and cut it in contours, so then it looked like a natural meadow, at least until the time the new trees came up. And that made such a difference. I mean,
yeah.
everybody knew you're growing the trees to use them for lumber, but at least now it isn't this garish checkerboard running across.
Oh, and maybe they cut them at different times and gradually
right.
now.
Right, yeah, you'd see these various sections. Yeah, I'd hope that would be used.
The blue gum eucalyptus is a problem, and because they are exempt from getting permitted right now, there are a lot of situations where they are not required to replant another tree in its place. And so I think what we are promoting is definitely replanting a climate-resilient tree in place if it's appropriate.
One of the most important things is, how do people contact your organization and become involved?
We are at EG Advocates. That's E as in egg, G as in goat, advocates.org. And we can be contacted through our contact link there. And if you are interested in supporting our petition, which is trying to get the county to reduce or transition off toxic spraying, pesticide, and herbicide use on our public lands, including our parks, we have a link at the very top of the page.
One more time, because that's hard to remember.
Okay, yeah, sure. The website to contact is EG Advocates. That's E as in egg, G as in goat, advocates.org.
Well, it's been a delight to have you here, and I guess we'll see you out pulling plants up at some point. We hope that people will consider
doing that. You get to be outside.
A volunteer to help pull plants, maybe the less pesticides and herbicides will be used on our land.
Getting some exercise and you're helping the environment as well.
Getting in the sun. And one more thing I'd like to say is that El Granada Advocates is working with Protect Our Watersheds SMC, Patty Mayell, and Non-Toxic Neighborhoods with Kim Conti. Please let your county and parks know when you see spraying happening or application of pesticides and ask them questions and let them know your concerns. Send them photos. You can even send us photos at our contact link at egadvocates.org.
Well, I want to thank you for joining us today and bringing us awareness on how we can help preserve our coastside environment.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you having me today.
My guest today has been Melinda McNaughton with El Granada Advocates.
'Cause you're a good God with a real good plan, and you hold my world in ordering can, so I can have peace. 'Cause flowers grow in the valley.
Take the time to learn how to care for our land and ourselves at the same time. For the feature story of the week, this is Bill Wood.
Our thanks to KHNB contributor Bill Wood for our feature story of the week. For Radio Magazine, I'm Jim Henderson.